It's been 7 years since I came to the Young People's Conference. Two thousand four was the last time he came. So it's 8 years. It's been 8 years. So now when I come to the Young People's Conference, I feel like grandpa. But praise the Lord. Amen. The brothers said I should start. Actually, they should start the conference. Because they decided what the topic was, and they know what they want to share about in the coming days. But I don't have any choice. So I am just willing and obedient. Praise the Lord. So what should I say tonight? It's really a grace that there are so many young people here tonight. In this psalm, we see that our Lord is ascended. Today, He sits on the throne. That is no small matter for us to see. In Christianity today, it's very much emphasized that the Lord died on the cross for us. This is a gospel that you often hear, right? When you preach the gospel, what do you preach? What is the first thing you say when you preach the gospel? You mention the cross. The Lord Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. But I want to ask you, what did Peter pray? It was the first preaching of the gospel on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached, and what did he preach? Did he preach that Jesus Christ died on the cross? Praise the Lord, that you all killed him. And that was completely according to God's will, that his blood was poured out, that everyone who believes in him will be saved. Is that what he preached? If Christian had been Peter on this day, I'm sure this is probably what he would have said, unless he would have been full of the Spirit and not according to his own concept to preach the gospel. If he would be full of the Spirit like Peter, then his preaching would be completely different. Let's read Acts chapter 2. Because in this conference we want to abide in Acts and have fellowship about Acts. It's very important. Here in Acts chapter 2 it says, Peter, in the middle of his sermon, first he talked about the resurrection of the Lord in verse 31. Acts chapter 2, verse 31. And then he continued to speak. He said, this Jesus God has raised up, praise the Lord, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured this out, which you now see and hear. And then he continues on to say, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, and then he recites Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So here we see that the climax of the gospel that Peter preached was the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ, his glorification, that he is ascended, that he ascended into heaven. And I hope that in all of the hearts of the saints tonight, especially of the young people, we really need to all know this. What was the climax of Christ's work? We see Christ's work always in individual steps and not as a unity, but actually God's work in Jesus Christ is not just the crucifixion, but actually the entire work, including his becoming flesh, his living here as a man on earth, and then his crucifixion. But the work didn't stop there at the crucifixion. That would have been bad if that were the case, if God's work had stopped there, don't you think? What do you think is more important, the crucifixion or the resurrection? The resurrection, are you very sure? Yes, he's very sure. Okay, so if you're very sure, then you have to prove it to me. Otherwise, how can the Lord give us his life? Yeah, that's your opinion. You have to prove it to me. He became the life-giving spirit. Yeah, of course. But your argument isn't strong enough. Our sermon is in vain, and our faith is in vain. So, okay, read it again. It's 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, read it. Verse 15 and 18. If Christ had not resurrected, then our preaching would be in vain, and then your faith would also be in vain. Your faith is empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So you see, what is more important, the crucifixion or the resurrection? The resurrection. Praise the Lord. We all need to see this. But unfortunately, in your mind, you still have the crucifixion much higher than the resurrection. Is it not so? Be honest tonight. What's more important for you? The crucifixion is certainly more important to you. But if we only preach the crucifixion without the resurrection, then it's really so. It's not perfected. It's not ended. So that means the resurrection is certainly much more important than the crucifixion. Paul said in Christ, if Christ had not resurrected, you would still be dead in your sins, but praise the Lord for the resurrection. But since Christ resurrected, is that good enough? Christian. Is that good enough? Are you sure? It's not good enough? Why isn't it good enough? The Lord still has a plan. Okay, listen. Listen up. The Lord still has a plan. Okay, so now let's hear. What plan does He have? He wants to build His church. But what does the church, building the church, have to do with His ascension? So you see, brothers and sisters, it's not that easy to explain. If the Lord had only resurrected, that would have been good for us. Then our faith wouldn't be empty. He became the life-giving Spirit, and He enters into us, and He becomes our life. Isn't that good? But is it sufficient? No. First, the Lord has to ascend to the throne and sit at the right hand of God in glory. The goal is this glory. The goal is this glory. God doesn't just want to save us. He also doesn't want to make us living. But He wants to bring us all into glory. That is our destination. That is our goal. And so when the Lord, if the Lord, as man, would not sit upon the throne at the right hand of God, then God's work is not perfected with us people. It's very, very important to see this. It's about glory. Therefore, in the spring conference, what did we see? We saw the vision of glory. And therefore, God's work in Jesus Christ must bring Christ into this wonderful glory, and with Him also we. That's why Hebrews says to us, He will also bring many sons into glory. So what is your goal? We need to see. The Lord wants to bring all of us into His glory. Praise the Lord. And when we build the church, it's not just building a church, but what type of church does He want to build? A glorious church. That's right. That's why we now need to say not just Christ in the church, but Christ and the glorious church. Because if the church is not glorious, then it's not good for us. It's not good. The Lord doesn't just want to build His church. He wants to build a glorious church. He wants to build a glorious church. This is no small matter. Lord, build up a glorious church with us. So in this Young People's Conference is actually a continuation from the Spring Conference. A glorious church. Yes, the Lord really opened our eyes to see what God's glory is. That's why God's glory is not just something static, standing still, but it's full of power. It's a movement. Like a hurricane, like a tornado. And it fits so well to the young people. It's so fitting for the young people, right? You are free, strong, overcomers. You sing. We are bold warriors. Praise the Lord. The So the Lord needs in His ascension such a group of young people. What an advantage! What an advantage! What a privilege! What a privilege do we have! Therefore, brothers and sisters, we definitely tonight need to have some fellowship about this, to see what the Lord is doing in His ascension. Let's go back to Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Isn't that wonderful? So glorious. To get there, that's glory. Till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. And here we see there's still a problem with glory. There are still enemies around. The enemies are still active. They still have power. They're doing things. The enemy of the Lord. We shouldn't be so naive and think that everything can happen without any problems. No, there are many problems. And the enemies of the Lord have not been yet made to footstools. And when and how will this happen? Tell me. How can the Lord make all of His enemies to your footstool? Through His church. Through His church. That's right. The Lord doesn't build His church, and if He can't build it with us, then it's not possible. Even though the Lord is so mighty, He's a mighty God. Even though He is almighty, He doesn't want to conquer His enemies alone. That's not glorious. If the Lord were to conquer all of His enemies by Himself, that's no masterpiece. Then the enemy would say, of course you can conquer me. You are the Son of God. You are the Lord. But with His church today, when the Lord can conquer all of His enemies through the church, especially the flesh that of the from the enemy in sin dwells in your flesh, the enemy isn't that far away from you. The enemy is not that far away from you. That's why the Lord, through all of us, through His church, through the built-up church, through this He has to conquer all of His enemies. Praise the Lord. Right? That's why we need to see this wonderful vision of the entire work of the Lord in glory. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of where? Out of Zion. Where is Zion? Here. Zion. Zion is here in the church. Praise the Lord. And through this psalm we see in the building up of the church is so important. Zion has been chosen. Zion was chosen. Zion, praise the Lord. Today, we are in Zion. Where is that written? Philip, where is it written? Where is it written that the church is in Zion? Are you still awake? Where is it written? He just came from Asia this morning. We saw each other in Bangkok. So you are excused tonight. Where is it written that the church is Zion today? Where is it written? Where is it written? It's written in Hebrews. So read it in Hebrews chapter 12, 22 and 23. But you have come to Mount Zion. Today we've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Yeah, to the church of the firstborn. This is what we wanted to hear. To Mount Zion and to the church of the firstborn. So the church is really wonderful. And today, we have come to this heavenly Jerusalem that is the church. The church is heavenly. It's a heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. And don't think that we are here by ourselves, just us. Tonight, it's not just young people here, and a few older people as well. Tonight, there are also the invisible angels, angelic beings. There are the four living creatures, the cherubim. So here, you can see it's wonderful. It's wonderful. For here is the church of the firstborn. Praise the Lord. We are all become partakers of this wonderful Christ in the right of the firstborn. And I hope nobody here plans to sell their birthright, because we want to all be overcomers. We want to overcome. So brothers and sisters, we need such a vision. I'm speaking to those who've been in the church for a long time. Many of you have already been in the church life for a long time. You grew up in the church, right? So, we all need to see even more clearly and treasure where we are, what we have, and what we are doing here. It's no small matter, because as young people, we all need to lay hold of it. We need to lay hold of what we are doing here. We need to comprehend that what we are doing here is the most important thing in the entire universe. This is what I want to write in your hearts. Don't think we are just here coming to a young people's conference, or that the church is just a place where we can have nice fellowship with each other. No. Of course we have good, wonderful fellowship. And that's part of it. But that's not what it's all about. We are here together to achieve something for our living God. We have something wonderful to do. It's something very important. We have something very important to do. Everything else will pass away. Don't think that your studies are more important. Of course, you have to study. You have to go to school, college. But don't think I'm doing the most important thing here in the universe is that I can go to college. No. Finish your studies. But your studies are not the most important. Your work isn't the most important. Porsche, Daimler, Bosch, Siemens, all of these. It doesn't matter who you work for. It's not, that's all nothing. They just exist so that today we can make a living. That's it. Nothing more. Nothing more. So what the Lord has showed us today, I want to show you, it's worth it to invest your entire being for it. Everything else will pass away. Only what God does today will abide, will remain. Therefore, it's no small matter to be here tonight. Otherwise, what do you want to do here tonight? This entire week, what do you want to do? Wouldn't you rather go on vacation, go to Mallorca, or I don't know where, Hawaii, Honolulu? What do I want to do in Honolulu? What do I have there? Why are we all here? Why did I come here tonight? Why did you hurry to come here after the conference in Bangkok without any time to rest? Because it's about His work. God is got something to do urgently. 2,000 years since the Lord ascended, He couldn't find anybody who would work, cooperate fully together with Him. Nobody thought about what it's all about. Everyone just wants to be saved out of hell and want to go to heaven one day, and nobody even knows what heaven's going to be like. What do you want to do in heaven? Listen to concerts that the angels play on harps? Do you think that the angels are there just to play a concert for you to enjoy? The angels will laugh at you if you think you're going there to listen to an angel's concert, an angelic concert. They will think, what a dumb people you are. We have such an important thing to do for the Lord, and these people want to go and play harp in heaven. It's true, actually, there's a very well-known evangelist. He once gave an answer of, what are you going to do when you go to heaven? He said, we can play golf. Why in heaven? You can play golf today already. You don't have to go to heaven to play golf. As if they don't have anything to do when they get up there. You can make eternal vacation, go vacation forever in heaven. It's so boring. Do you think that you would like to go on vacation for 10 years? I tell you, when I go on vacation, after 2 days, I'm so bored, I already want to go home. That's why I don't go on vacation. And now you want to go on vacation forever in all eternity? Many believers don't know what it's all about. And tonight you are sitting here as young people. May the Lord open your eyes so that you can comprehend and see what we are actually doing here, what our goal is. What do you want to achieve? Why is the Lord building up His church? And what are you doing here as young people in the church? We all need to comprehend this. We need to understand this. If you see it, Then you can decide what you want to do. Then it's up to you. It's your decision. I can't force anybody. I can't tell you, you have to give yourself, you have to consecrate yourself. No, I will not do this. I'm not God. You're not serving me. You're serving the living Lord. And He should tell you. And you should make a decision if you want to give your life to Him or not. It's up to you. But you need to know. Oh Lord, that there is something much more important to be done. Don't just think that we all know everything already. Back then, when the people of Israel, they didn't know. It was also around a time span of about 2,000 years. They didn't know what it was all about. They just wanted to become rich. Enjoy life. They want to inherit earthly things. They didn't understand that God, through the nation of Israel, wanted to build up His kingdom and out of Israel to rule over all nations. They didn't comprehend it. They didn't understand it. And in the end, God had to give up on Israel. Because none of them knew what was in God's heart. And today it's the very same. What is the church for you? To come together on Sunday, to sing, to hear sermons, say amen and go home? Is that what church is to you? I hope not. Tonight, this entire week, we need to see more how in the conference, how we saw in the conference in spring, the Lord needs to show more. He needs to show more specifically. And here we see the Lord will stretch out His rod out of Zion and reign in the midst of His enemies. But how shall He reign without a people? It's impossible. A people, a king without a people, it's unimaginable. But a king with a rebellious people is also unimaginable. It's also, they can't, it's not the way it should be. Can you imagine all the people are rebellious? Nobody listens to what the king has to say? What will happen to the kingdom? That's why here in verse 3, Psalm 110, we see a people, praise the Lord. A people is very important. But what type of people were they? In Ezekiel, we saw that God's people was what? Rebellious. They had a hard head, hard-headed, hard forehead, stiff-necked, and stone, heart of stone. So they were threefold hard, a hard forehead, a hard head, a stiff neck, and a hard heart, a hardened heart out of stone. Threefold heart. So, how does that look like? How does it look like with us? Read Ezekiel again. I hope that in the last months, you all read, entered into Ezekiel. Or did you do it? What type of people was it described in Ezekiel? Impossible people, unimaginable people. Do you think that the Christians today are very obedient? Very willing? Yes, they are willing to do something according to what they think is good. But if not, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to have it. But here we see Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. Is that the truth today? Does the Lord have a people among us today that is full of volunteers? Obedient? Willing? Ready at all times to say amen to the Lord when the Lord says something? Brother, do this for me. Do you want to do it? You will say, yeah, Lord, I don't have any time. Or I need to do this first. Oh Lord, I can't do it. Or I won't do it. We have so many excuses, so many. Outwardly we say amen, but inwardly we're not willing. The Lord needs a people, volunteers. Volunteer voluntarily without anyone forcing you. God doesn't want to force us. He's not a dictator. God gives us the liberty to choose, even though He has the right not to. But our God is so great that He doesn't force anybody. He's been waiting for 2,000 years since Adam till today. It's already over 6,000 years. And if you want to have something so much, you can't even wait a day for it. You want to have it immediately. This is the way we are. But the Lord waited 6,000 years since He created Adam. And He's always been waiting for a willing and voluntary people, willing to be completely one with Him, to seek Him, especially in this, among this generation. Can you imagine? All of these young people here, if they are absolute for the Lord, absolutely for the Lord. We're just about 300 people here. 300 people. If you ask Gideon, he would say, it's enough. Amen. 300 people who are willing here in Europe to be absolute. That's enough. We don't need 30,000. We don't even need 3,000. We need 300. But if we had 30 who were absolute, that would be good as well. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the Lord only had 120, but they were all willing. They were all volunteers. They were absolute for Him. They gave all for Him. And all of the 120 people knew what everything was about. And they were together in unity in prayer. And the Lord, by pouring out the Spirit with one, He could save 3,000 people within one day. Isn't that good? Amen. Elias is a good name. Don't you think that the Lord can not repeat what He's done before? What do you think? Could He or could He not? He can. But what does He need? He needs us. Not only does He need us, He needs 120 willing people. Of course He needs us, but if we are not so willing, then If we are not willing to voluntarily cooperate and work together with Him, if we are not willing to give ourselves to Him by all means, absolutely. But if the Lord has just a few who are willing to give themselves to them, He can do a lot. Look what He did in one day. 12 apostles, but these 12 were absolute. They were 100% for God. Not just 50% or 25%. Praise the Lord. They didn't go about it half-heartedly. They meant it seriously with the Lord. Peter said, "Look, Lord, we've given up everything to follow You." Peter, he was even wedding to follow Jesus to the cross. He didn't make it, but at least he had the heart to. The Lord saw the willingness of his heart. Whether he made it or not, that was secondary. But primarily, the Lord saw his heart. He saw this man, he wants to follow me even all the way to the cross, and he was happy about it. But he knew he wasn't going to make it, at least not yet. But at the end of his life, he did. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the Lord really has to do a lot with us. But here we see a heart full of a voluntary heart. It doesn't mean that we are already so far that we can't make it, but we need to have the willingness to. The Lord needs our willingness. He needs us to be volunteers. And then, in the day of your power, praise the Lord. Two words tonight: willingness and holiness. Volunteers and holiness. After so many years, I notice many people, even though they are willing, they are not willing to separate themselves to be holy. Then the Lord also can't do much with them. God is holy. So tonight, you shouldn't forget this word, holiness. Because the Lord is holy. We can't do just anything as we like to reach His goal. It's not possible. God is holy. And the vessels that He uses also must be holy. In the day of His power, in the beauties of holiness, what makes a church beautiful? It's holiness. And with holiness, we see glory. So we see here glory and holiness. Holiness from the womb of the morning, so fresh and living. It's very, very important to be fresh and living. Young people shouldn't be like grandparents, like old people. You are not old people here. You are all young people here. Fresh and living. Fresh, like the morning. Christian, don't be old. Be fresh and living. Daniel. Oh, he meant Daniel. Christian is here. Daniel is there. Daniel. Stay fresh and living. Fresh and alive. All young people should be fresh and alive. All Christians should remain fresh and alive. Didn't Paul say, The Lord wants to have a church without spot or wrinkle, without any wrinkles. So that means you have to stay young, fresh, and alive. Praise the Lord. It's important. It's important for this battle, and it is a battle. We shouldn't think it's easy. Our Lord needs such a young group of people. That's why he says, from the womb of the morning you have the dew of your youth. You can see here when the wings of the four living creatures start to stretch out, to move, what type of sound do they make? Like a mighty group of warriors. Don't think that the enemy will just leave you alone. No, the enemy will not leave you alone. Right, the enemy will not just let you go to the church. All hell will rise up. The entire religion will rise up against you. Didn't you experience this? It's good. Praise the Lord. That shows that you are in the right way. You are according to Scripture. Every time when the Lord wants to do something in the church, expect the enemy to stand up. That's normal. So the Lord needs an army. Church is not just there for us to sing and praise and say hallelujah. That would be nice, yeah. No. Church is also not just there for us to enjoy it. We have something to do. We want to really destroy the enemy of God. We want to send him into this lake of fire. By growing, by learning, by being holy. And that we would gain ground here on earth. Preach the gospel more to young people, gain young people. At the university, even more young people, the best young people. We need to gain the best young people. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is important. We have something very wonderful to do. To enter into this kingdom, they need to be built up. They need to grow in life. They need to know the Lord. They need to see visions. They need to come into the church life. They need to know this wonderful living God. That's why in Ezekiel from chapter 37, after these dead bones became alive again and they were joined together in unity, their flesh and sinews, and they even received breath, what did they become? An exceedingly great army. This is what the Lord wants to have. Praise the Lord. This is very important, brothers and sisters. A young people that belongs to the Lord. You need to open your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I really want to be open. Open my eyes. Speak to me. Appear to me. Give me a pure heart. Give me an understanding heart. As young people, you have wonderful, great capacity to go on with the Lord. That's why we have this time at the Young People's Conference. consecrate this time to the Lord. Use this time to speak to the Lord. Prayer is nothing more than opening your heart and speaking to the Lord, and let Him also speak to you. The prayer in the Bible is not just a one-way street, but it's back and forth. You speak to Him, and then He speaks to you. It's not good. If only we have something to say and He doesn't say anything, that's not good. So, brothers and sisters, this ascending Christ in His glory needs an exceedingly great army. And who shall be this army? Don't we want to be this? Think about it. Think about it. If you are not this exceedingly great army, if you do not become it, who else should? And if not the young people are sitting here, then where shall the Lord get the young people from? You think if we, the young people in the church, just want to have a nice time here, to have Christian disco, Christian club, or what, I don't know what they all do in Christianity. Do you think the enemy will be afraid of such an army? Much more, brothers and sisters. The Lord wants to have a willing people, a holy people, who is fresh and living, strong. A young people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the young people. Really, brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord needs. In this generation needs to be gained. And this generation must bring the Lord back. Amen. I always told the brothers, it's now your time. Your time is up now. It's your time. Yes. The second part of the psalm, you can read it yourself. You see here, in verse 5, the Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the days of your wrath. This day will come. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. This will happen during the 3.5 years of the greatest tribulation. But before that, we need to win the battle in the spirit. He shall execute the heads of many countries. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have great things in store to do. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, the returning of the Lord? The Lord's coming back depends upon you. Think about it. You are so important. The way we are built up, what we are doing, the way we cooperate together with Him, that the scriptures can be fulfilled, all of these things. If the Lord can gain such a young group of people to carry out this battle, then the Lord can come back. He's waiting for it. Praise the Lord. Tonight, let's stay here in this point. Then you will see the Lord as a king sitting on the throne is also the Melchizedek. He is our trainer. He supplies us with everything that we need, with bread, with wine, while we are fighting. Abraham fought for his brother, for his nephew, Lot. And he won the battle. And that's why the Melchizedek came, appeared to him, and served him with bread and wine. So if we're not fighting, then we cannot experience this Melchizedek that much. But if we are fighting, then he will come to us and supply us and nourish us with life, with bread, with wine, with everything that we need. This is for sure. The Lord will not leave us alone. So as young people, amen. May the Lord bless you in all these 7 days. Think the young brothers prepare themselves well. I'm just going to do the beginning tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's continue to pray together. I'm sure there are many enough.